Good morning. And welcome to our second in our series of The Power of Decision. Today's message is decide to live richly. Decide to live richly. And this is a wonderful idea. It's a wonderful experience. Raymond Charles Barker, who wrote the book, wrote this book in around 1968. And at that time, he talks in this chapter about how he felt uncomfortable about ever having any debt. Oh, my goodness. If he lived today, right? I mean, he, when he wrote the book, his mortgage was, there was nothing. He said, I'm free and clear. It feels so good to be free and clear. And actually, it does feel good to be free and clear. And since, do I have any slide there coming? Okay. So decide to live richly. So one of the things that we need to do in order to live richly, we have to change our perception of life. We have to perceive differently. And Barker says this, in order to present the idea of God as mind, capital M, man as mind in action, the universe as that mind in reaction, the consciousness of the individual has to be ready to perceive words in a new way. Let me read it again. In order to present the idea of God as mind, man as that mind in action, the universe as that mind in reaction, the consciousness of the individual has to be ready to perceive words in a new way. You know, Ernest Holmes, in the first couple of chapters, wrote the words, love points the way, law makes the way possible. Love points the way, love points the way. Our heart's desires, thank you, Debbie, for that wonderful song. Our heart's desires point the way. But the possibility of that way becoming form is the law. It's the way mind works. And the sooner we get clear about that and free of our superstitions and our old ways of thinking and can think clearly and see clearly, the happier, healthier, wealthier we will be. So one of those things that we need to do is to try something new, and we're going to do that right now. So would you just fold your arms across your chest? Notice which arm is on top, which is underneath. Okay, now switch. How did that feel? It feels weird because it's not comfortable because you have a favorite way. You have a favorite way, and to do it a different way feels uncomfortable. But unless we start trying things new, doing things differently, we are not opening to those divine ideas that divine mind is forever, it's like a broadcast system. It's forever broadcasting ideas for us to move upon, for us to cherish and accept as our own. So the first idea about decide to live boldly is to decide, decide to live richly. And that does not mean overspending on your credit cards. It's the opposite of that. If God and mind are synonymous, then every action you make with money is going to be an intelligent one. It's going to be a responsible one, a loving one. And that is loving to you as well as to the world. So the grandeur of, I love this picture. To me, this is a picture of freedom, of financial freedom. She's in this wonderful white long dress flying through these flowers. And Barker said, the grandeur of life is known by the few when it should be known to the many. The grandeur of life should be known to the many. That means each one of us should have our own symbol for the grandeur of life, for the greatness of life, and should be living it. It's ours by right of consciousness. It is ours because we're made in the image and likeness of this divine mind. So then he also said, the greater and happier outward expression requires a larger and fuller knowingness and consciousness. Translated, if you want to experience the greater life with more good for you, you need to expand first your consciousness, your awareness of God in you. God in you. I was so proud to be the leader of the center Friday night. I felt like I had helped produce this Broadway magnificent play, this wonderful show. And thank you to Diane King Van, because this woman is amazing. She really is the producer, director, writer, et cetera, et cetera. And it was so much fun. And that, for me, was living richly. It was living richly for me to come to our center and be entertained by our choir and our wonderful musicians and Diane and her daughter and her husband and her friend and all of our wonderful musicians. It was just wonderful. You do not need to overspend. We were talking about it just prior to service, so we think that in 2007 this occurred. But anyway, I am wearing something that reminds me to live richly. These are pearls I got in China when I was in China in probably 2007. I didn't check with all of the people that went on that trip. But why they're a reminder to live richly is that was the year before the Olympics, and the Chinese government, or tourism board, probably synonymous, really wanted to promote travel to China. So we got an all-inclusive trip for $2,100 per person. All-inclusive meant not only the flights over, all of the travel, and we weren't in one place. We were in like eight different places, eight different parts of this huge country. Now, they made up for it because, I'll tell you, every single stop was an opportunity to purchase things. At the Pearl Factory, I purchased these, but then there was the Silk Factory, the Close of Mace Factory, et cetera, et cetera. There was no shortage of things to purchase to live that full life, if that's what a full life means to you. For me, it was traveling with my friends, this foreign country being so looked after, so well-treated, and for such a reasonable amount of money, so that other than the purchasing of the other things, it was a wise use of our money. If you love to travel, are there ways for you to travel that are also in alignment with your current state of financial abundance? Absolutely. When I was told how much the trip was, I was sure it was incorrect. My consciousness couldn't conceive of two meals a day. I mean, everything. All the way, all the hotel rooms, et cetera, et cetera. And it wasn't crummy $50 hotel rooms, although it was four or five star hotel rooms. It was a really fabulous trip. Okay. So here's another thing that Barker reminds us of. Spiritual ideas are always affirmative. They are thought-provoking. The thoughts they engender gradually reveal sense, and then the practical aspects are obvious. Spiritual ideas are always affirmative. They are thought-provoking. So when an idea comes to you and it moves in you, and it might be a business idea, it might be a friendship idea, it doesn't matter, but that idea is spiritual, it's thought-provoking. And then when you take action, things will just unfold. So ask yourself, what is richer living to you? What is it to you? What would living a full, abundant life mean to you? I know for many of us, it would mean being with our family and friends, having sufficient, having more than enough. Raymond Charles Barker definition of prosperity is the ability to do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. Whatever I want to do when I want to do it. So the infinite is a divine extravagance. I love this. Is a divine extravagance. Why? It's forever throwing itself away. And it does not need to be thrifty. It knows that only through expression can the abundant life be lived. So you have to take action on that great idea of yours. If you're unwilling to take action, you're not allowing that presence of God through you to express. You're not allowing this infinite creative expression to have a more expression through you. Through you. When you write the book, when you sign up for those music lessons, when you decide to write that poetry or that novel that you've been thinking about, whatever it is that's your good idea, when you are guided to do it, the universe is actually, it came from the universe in the first place. It came from mind with a capital M to your mind. It came from your heart's desire, so you know it's for you and not for someone else. And you, the way you cooperate is listen to those divine ideas moving through you. So here, if you could see this more clearly, all of these are stacks of $100 bills. Each one of those stacks is $10,000. So for some of us, that amount of money may seem like, well, that's prosperity. That really is richer living. But money, that's what I was saying earlier, money itself doesn't give us richer living. It's the things that we can do with it that are in alignment with our heart's desire that makes living richer. And so I think Barker might have coined this because I didn't see it in any of Hone's work, but as soon as I say that, someone's going to tell me, oh, it was in this book. The awareness that money is God in action. Money is God in action provides the intelligent use of money. So money isn't bad. It's not dirty. It's not not necessary. It is God in action. Because in order for us to celebrate the good things of our heart, the heart's desire, oftentimes money is the vehicle of that celebration, of that expression. So think about what is living richly for you. Would it be just relaxing on the beach? That might not take any money here in San Clemente. We could just go down and lounge, right? Is it being with a significant other? Is it connecting with your friends and family? What is living richly? And one of the things about the science of mind is that oftentimes we get a great idea, but we don't have the necessary discipline to stick with it long enough for it to manifest. We have a great idea, and at first, when we're planting it every night, we're excited about it. We're enthusiastic about it. But when it doesn't appear within a few days, well, maybe that wasn't for me. Maybe I've heard this. Maybe God didn't want me to have that. God doesn't have any opinion about what you can't have. God only operates through that desire of your heart and the law that says yes to everything you plant. If you plant a desire that you truly, truly want, it must become form. Keep watering those seeds. Don't dig them up. Don't dig them up. Consider the people in history. I was just reading last night about the author Burgess, who at 40 years old was told that he had a year to live. And he thought, well, I have always wanted to write a book, so I'm going to take the year off and I'm going to write a book. And he wrote books, and he wrote books, and he wrote books, and the year went by. He wrote four books in that first year. He is the writer of A Clockwork Orange. Very famous writer. He didn't die. His 1 year to live extended because he was giving his gift, his creative talent. He was delivering it. Isn't that amazing? So what if you just, you know, the diagnosis was actually a blessing? Because maybe he'd never have said yes to that desire. But he did. He did. And I think about the Wright brothers also. You know, not only did they try this, getting this thing heavier than air off the ground for 4 years and failed. They lost their backer. But the biggest thing, their father was a bishop in the church and said, you need to stop this. It's a sin. If God intended people to fly, he would have given us wings. And they kept going anyway. They knew that was a... Look at how we just take flying for granted. In the last 110 years, it has blossomed and grown, but it started with Orville and Wilbur Wright being willing to try and try and try their dream. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this, man's mind stretched to a new idea never goes back to its original dimensions. Isn't that a great quote? You can't unthink what you thought. You can't unknow what you know. When you've proven this science, you can't pretend that you don't know it. You might have spiritual amnesia for a day or two, but honestly, a man's mind, a person's mind stretched to a new idea never goes back to its original dimension. It's time for all of us to open to new ideas. It's time for all of us to step into that river of life, that place of abundance. So one of the things in the wonderful affirmation that Reverend Judy wrote was about what our expectations are. And this was, I thought, a cute picture. You might not be able to see it, but it's six kids, the biggest to the smallest, goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then on her belly she has 7 written. So we know what she's expecting. But what are you expecting? What are you expecting? And I don't mean just physically, what are you expecting? Are you expecting good? Or, you know, I wrote my blog about this because I know when I was in my 20s and even part of my 30s, it was normal for me to be cynical. I know you can't believe that because I've grown so far since then, but I was very cynical. And when I heard about this, Murphy's Law, I really liked it. I dug it. Murphy's Law. If any field of endeavor, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Left to themselves, things always go from bad to worse. If there's a possibility of several things going wrong, the one that will go wrong is the one that will cause the most damages. Nature always aids with the hidden, always sides with the hidden flaws. And if everything seems to be going well, you have obviously overlooked something. That is not the science of mind. That is not the science of mind. It was funny in the 70s or 80s or whenever it was, but it is not the science of mind. The science of mind is to take charge of your thinking and have it affirmative and trust that what you are planting grows and that the only thing that comes your way is good and greater good. Greater good in terms of a full life, an abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wasn't saying he himself, but this principle that he was teaching is a principle of abundance. So check your expectations this week. Pay attention. Are you expecting a full, rich life, or are you expecting Murphy's Law? I'm hoping that you're opting for the first. So one of the ways that you do that is eliminating stress or tension. And one of the ways to do that is simply by being in the present moment. Your breath is such a great way to center, to let go of the future, the past, etc., and let go. Ask yourself anytime you're feeling stressed, is this or could this be the truth of the infinite? Could it be the truth of God? And the answer is absolutely not. God, being infinite, hasn't anything other than itself. And being eternal has nothing but time. You're an infinite, eternal being, living a life filled with choice. So, I like this picture. This woman looks like she's really relaxing. I know it's hard to see on our split screens, but she's sitting back and the smile on her face says, I'm satisfied. Life is good. That's what it says to me. So, let abundance flow in your life. Remember, if money is God in action, every action you take with that money is one of integrity, one of clarity and wisdom, and that everything is for your highest good. So just remember about how it felt to cross your arms in a different way. And Diane, I'm going to invite you back to the platform. Remember, new things feel slightly wrong, but there's no wrong. It's just different. And different is necessary for you to grow into the being you were created to be. So let's deepen this awareness with prayer, and Diane's going to set the consciousness for us. In this moment of silence, I remind myself that there is only one life. That life is God's life. That life is infinite intelligence and absolute unconditional love. It is everywhere present. There is no point of space or time where it is not. Everywhere and in everything as everything. And I know that in this moment, there is a decision to live more fully than ever before, to live more aware of resources, of desires. I know this is the moment that each one lets go of doing things out of obligation and rises up into doing things from a sense of oneness, love, and well-being, from a sense of truly being loved, adored, and guided. I know this infinite intelligence that is divine mind is guiding each one of us, and that guidance is in every area of our lives. So we are rich with friendships, with love, we are rich with health, we are rich with financial abundance, we're rich with wisdom and ideas. Those ideas continuously pour into us as newness, and the newness is good and very good. I'm very, very grateful for the power of decision. I'm grateful for my decision to be more than I have been, to be greater than I have been. I know this for each one here, and I am so very grateful that the law of mind is always listening and always saying, yes, my beloved. So I simply release this word to the law of mind. The law has it, and we say together, and so it is.
Thank you, Reverend Heather. And please